Every day, hospitals and health systems are doing some of the most innovative work in America, finding new ways and new partners to collaborate with to advance the health of their communities. So what does all of this good work mean for patients? Welcome to the American Hospital Association's new podcast series, Just Lead, a series highlighting how hospitals and health systems that have been recognized with AHA awards for innovation, collaboration, and health equity are transforming healthcare for their communities. I'm Tom Hitterly with AHA Communications. The annual AHA Dick Davidson Nova Awards recognize the stars of this effort. The awards salute those programs that are helping to address many of our nation's most pressing health challenges while creating healthier communities and increasing well-being for their neighbors. And by the way, the deadline for applications for the 2023 NOVA Award is November 16th. You can learn more at www.aha.org/nova. And after hearing from some of this year's honorees, we hope you'll be inspired to apply. The School Blue Envelope Suicide Prevention Program, a creation of Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, Michigan, is among the five programs recognized with a 2022 NOVA Award. In this podcast, two Spectrum Health experts join AHA Senior Associate Director for Media Relations to discuss the difference their approach has made.
Hi, I'm Sean Berry, Senior Associate Director for Media Relations at the American Hospital Association. We're talking today with recipients of the 2022 Dick Davidson NOVA Award. This award recognizes hospitals for their collaborative efforts to improve community health. And I'm joined today by two guests. The first is Dr. Subodh Jain, who's their Chief of Psychiatry, and Jody Sprague, the Manager of Behavioral Health Programs, both of Spectrum Health in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you both for joining us. Jody, I want to start by asking you about the School Blue Envelope Suicide Prevention Program, which is the focus of your award. Could you tell us what it is and how did it start?
Well, thank you for having us, Sean. I appreciate it. The School Blue Envelope started actually from a healthcare program that was very successful. Our healthcare program decided to help train all of our staff in our primary care on how to respond to patients who had thoughts of suicide. And that was such a successful program that we expanded it and we wanted to bring it out into our community. So we created a School Blue Envelope program. The School Blue Envelope really is two levels of training that we have for all staff in the school. So we train everyone from principals, assistant principals, to teachers, and even bus drivers and coaches. And what we do is we have the level one training is for the frontline staff, the people who have touch points with students all day long. So we're training our teachers and our bus drivers and our coaches, our paraprofessionals, even our office staff, so that everyone would know how to respond if a student has thoughts of suicide and expresses that. And we also have a level two advanced training where we teach them some evidence-based programs and some tools that would help triage the risk level of a suicidal student, so then we can kind of decide if they're low, moderate, or high. So those are all evidence-based tools that we use that's been really, really well received by schools. They know that they need extra help, and the partnership with the healthcare and the school system has just been amazing.
Yeah, I appreciate you talking about those trainings, and I think it's a good example of something where a hospital or health system is doing things differently or thinking outside the box. And could you talk a little bit about just getting those trainings going and figuring out just what tools you needed to make them successful, particularly, as you said, trying to reach people throughout your staffing ecosystem?
Right. Well, they came to us, the school said, we need some assistance. And so that was an easy fill. We said, this is a program we have that's been very successful. And we literally spent months collaborating with the school systems and asking them, how would this work in a school? What would you need? And they gave us contributing factors of just things that would be helpful. In a school, we're going to need to do it different than what the health system does. But some of the basic premises were still the same. We still kept that suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. So we're training everyone. And then we also taught them SAFE steps. We use an acronym of SAFE, which is S is stay with the student, access help, immediately. F is for feelings. Validate those feelings. It's really important if a student discloses that they're having some dark feelings or they're really scared, that the staff is able to respond with compassion and not express on their face that they're alarmed. So we validate their feelings. This is so important. I'm glad you mentioned this to us. If we know about it, we can help them, right? So we validate their feelings, and then E is for eliminating any risk. So stay with the student, access help, validate their feelings, and eliminate any risk.
And staying with you for a moment, I like what you said about the schools coming to you and saying, we want to partner with you on this. Was that a change in a sense? And I'm just curious about just a little more about that genesis of the partnership.
Yes. Health systems across the United States have a community health needs assessment that we do every couple of years. And we ask the community, what do you see as the needs? And then we look at ways that we can partner with our community. Mental health has come up regularly in the last 4 to 5 years. And actually suicide as well has been a concern of the community. So in targeting that, we knew that that was an area we wanted to grow in. So we started with schools. When you're thinking about youth, that's a place where they spend their most time there.
And Dr. Jane, I want to bring you in on this from a clinical perspective. Jody mentioned the community needs assessment and mental health being a recurring theme. Could you talk a bit about some of what you heard from the community in terms of those needs, and not just from a medical perspective, but also from a broader social, economic, just what were some of those factors that contributed to this work?
Absolutely. First, thank you for having me here. This is a wonderful way to discuss mental health. And we went through this ravaging pandemic. And what we were hearing from the community members is how the children are getting affected at all levels. We had seen significant increase in suicidality, suicide attempts, rates, especially in children. So parents, community members, everybody was concerned about the well-being of the children. We also see significant increase in our emergency room visits. We have a freestanding children's hospital. Having behavioral health patients in our hospital went about 3 to 5 times during the pandemic. And so we recognize the need to invest in this area. Another challenge was the national shortage of behavioral health providers. So we started seeing that we have to look towards a more upstream and focus on prevention and early intervention. So this is one of our attempts towards that. Working with our schools means that kids would be able to get assessed faster and connected to those resources much quicker. We wanted to decrease the number of patients who would show up in the emergency room, and that had a great impact. Our initial efforts about the School Blue Envelope program was limited to some schools, but now we are expanding it to more schools in our catchment areas. In 3 years, we are looking at about 60 school districts, which amounts to about 500 schools.
Yeah, thanks for that context. And could you actually talk a bit more, just because you mentioned the freestanding emergency department, and just give us a better sense of the footprint of Spectrum Health, just so we can kind of understand what are those different points of access for the patients you serve and the communities you serve?
So Spectrum Health is a large healthcare system in West Michigan. We are in 14 counties. We have freestanding children's hospital, Helen DeVos Children's Hospital, as well as other 14 hospitals in different areas. So every emergency room is an access point for our children. It is not limited to only the children's hospital, but that's where we see the most volume because it's based in Grand Rapids and one of the only children's hospital in West Michigan area. We used to have, even in our inpatient world, we would have 5 to 10 kids at one time who would have only behavioral health specific admissions. That has gone up to 35 to 40 kids on any given day. And these are the only ones who we admit who are very ill and cannot be integrated into the community while they show up at our ED doors. However, a lot of other children who come to us do have difficulty with accessing outpatient and other low acuity resources. So we have, with this School Blue Envelope program, we were trying to divert some of those children who would necessarily not benefit from coming to the emergency rooms. So if a child is low to moderate risk, the school personnel the school counselors, the teachers could help them and access the community mental health-based resources or with their outpatient providers, such as primary care providers. Some of the kids would have a psychologist, therapist, or a psychiatrist already involved in their care. Those were our ties. We are also invested in value-based work. So in our value-based work, we also want to reduce cost of care. So cost of care becomes a big part when we are trickling down that cost to working families or the families whose kids would be sent to the EDs for which can be particularly avoided, but also to the system where unnecessary emergency room visits could have been avoided.
Got it. No, appreciate that answer. Question for you, Jody, just thinking about mental health and child mental health in particular. There's a lot of discussion about stigma and just understanding of what these needs are and how to be attentive to them. Have you seen improvement in awareness of these needs and how to treat them and a reduction in stigma? And I'm just interested in your thoughts on that.
Yes, I think that's really an important point. Part of what I love about the School Blue Envelope program is that we're going into our community and we're teaching people where this is not their lane of expertise. So you're teaching a teacher how to respond to mental health. You're teaching a principal. You're teaching a bus driver how to respond to what would be a mental health crisis. Mostly, those situations are not extreme situation where they're actually suicidal at the moment, but they're having thoughts about that. So we're breaking that stigma down in just the ability to be able to have a conversation with a student who mentions it versus saying, we can't talk about that, or you have to go over there to talk about that. Instead, we can say, this is important. Let me see what we can do to get you some help. Let's talk more about this. And then we can get them to that advanced trained team member that's on the team. They all know them. It's in the familiarity of their own school. They know the people that are there. It just seems to really break down that process, break down the stigma of having the ability to be able to talk with someone that's right with them.
And I think you talked about this in your previous answer, but I mean, I think it's really impressive from the AHA's perspective, just the buy-in that you were able to get from throughout that staffing ecosystem on the school side. What are some lessons from that in terms of just getting that understanding from, as you said, people in all kinds of roles, clinical, non-clinical, and the like?
Well, one of our lessons learned was that getting the buy-in at the very beginning was really important, not just of like a superintendent or principal, but also even the mental health workers that were in the schools, that we could get their buy-in to explain what our program is ahead of time. And we've really learned as we expand to other counties, as Dr. Jan mentioned, that we go in first and we talk with the staff and we provide them an overview of what the program is about. Typically, when they hear that, they know that they need the help and they would love a partnership with that. We're not coming in to take over. We're not coming in to do this. We're partnering with you to share knowledge, to share some things that have worked, that are best practices. And once they learn that, they're very excited about partnering with us. We also partner, though, with those community mental health places. If there's key places where they provide counseling for students who may have some depression, anxiety, and other fears that are going on, we can connect with them so they're aware of this program as well, and so that we just start to involve the community more as well.
And Dr. Jan, anything you wanted to add about the program or about your work?
So the good part about our program is it is fully funded by Spectrum Health. So there is no cost incurred to the schools, which are anyways cash strapped at times. They're in the pandemic. They have had so many challenges with just the educational development and other things that they had to invest in. And on top of that, there is a pediatric mental health crisis at hand nationally. So our investment is not only from the system, but also we were able to rally the whole community behind this program with our philanthropy efforts, and everybody feels that they can help all these children in the community. Everybody relates to it. Every single person with different, from various walks of life, different socioeconomic status, they have kids in public schools, private schools, all school systems. So this is very well received and it can be replicated. Our goals are not to stop at the schools. Our goals are to take it to college and universities. We have to find a way how to fund those programs as well. However, we started in middle and high school for this very particular Blue Envelope program. The demand is coming from the elementary school because, as a child psychiatrist, I know that kids as young as six can express suicidal thoughts at that time. And there are no significant resources available in the school system for that particular age as well. So we want to expand on the both sides of the continuum of suicide prevention.
Jody, anything you want to add?
Yes, I feel like the best part about this program that I love about it the most is that it brings hope. We're very intentional about bringing hope. It's a tough subject to break in and talk about, as you mentioned earlier. But it not only brings hope to the students who are getting help that they need early on, but the teachers feel more comfortable and they're confident that once they learn, this is doable. I can do this. I can respond this way. And they can utilize it in their personal lives. They can utilize the same safe steps and what they've learned with their family, their niece, their daughter, their father-in-law, their neighbors. And so we really are beginning to expand into the community. And I am so honored to represent an amazing team of people who bring hope to our community on a regular basis.
Well, thank you both again for the conversation. Again, we're speaking with Spectrum Health of Grand Rapids, Michigan, about their recognition with a 2022 Dick Davidson Nova Award. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.